Today I want us to be looking in the book of Genesis once again. I want to begin reading in Genesis chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. And the title of the message is The Ark, a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. It says in Genesis chapter 7, verse 21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowls and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heavens. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. And the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Here in this story of the ark, we have one of the clearest pictures, I think, in all the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he redeems and saves his people, how he delivers them and saves them from the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God. If you'll remember back in chapter 6, verse 17, God said, and behold, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, where is in the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. That's such a sobering statement that God, when he brings this flood upon the earth, that he would destroy every living thing that lived upon this earth, except for Noah and Noah's family and all the animals that went into the ark. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and God determined to save Noah. God set his love and his grace upon Noah before the world was ever made, and God determined to spare Noah and to save him and deliver him when everybody else perished in the flood. And the way that God delivered him and spared him was by this ark, this massive vessel that would house him, that would support him, and that would take care of him and his family and all the animals. There was enough food and everything in that house, in that vessel, to sustain them and to keep them and to protect them. And God provided it for Noah. The ark was the means of escape, the means of security, the means of deliverance. For Noah delivered him from death. Everybody else died except Noah. When God sent the waters, which represent the waters are a picture of God's wrath upon this earth, God used this to destroy all mankind and in everything. Nothing escaped. Nothing escaped. It found it out. I can imagine as the waters grew higher and higher that people were probably running to, they were probably climbing up into trees, they were probably climbing up in mountains, some way to try to escape when this flood, this judgment came upon the earth. I can imagine when it probably began, they probably thought, well, it'll be over in a few days. But it wasn't over until it had destroyed every living thing. As I already began and read there in verse 21, and all flesh died that was upon the earth. All flesh died. In the story of the ark, God illustrates for us. God gives us a picture here in this story of how he saved Noah. I know this is probably a familiar story to a lot of people. They've probably heard of it, but most people don't understand what this means and what this pictures. You know, God gave us these pictures that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ and how he redeemed and how he saves his people. This ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I want to look at again today. I know we've looked at several messages on the ark, and I feel like we just need to go back and look at it once again. And then this picture of the ark, I see our Lord's death, I see his burial, and I see the resurrection of our Lord. So first, let's look at his death. And I want to ask a couple of questions. Why did our Lord have to die? Why was the ark prepared? To save a chosen people. The ark was prepared, why? To save Noah. To spare Noah. To deliver Noah. And why was the Lord Jesus Christ, why did he die? He died. He suffered. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Why did those people die? Because of sin, because of rebellion. Why was Noah spared? That's the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where every sin is found, it'll be dealt with. And God dealt with it. None escaped. None escaped. All of the judgment. But what I want you to see is God prepared the ark. God brought Noah in the ark. God shut Noah in the ark. And when the rains fell, and when the floods came upon this earth, it fell against the ark. Noah was in the ark, but the judgment and the death that destroyed all mankind, it fell against that ark. The ark endured the full fury of that storm. It endured it. It fell against it. There'd never been a storm like this before. Never. The water, which pictures God's hatred for sin, destroyed everything else. And this same water that destroyed everybody else. Now listen to me. This flood was the picture of God's judgment that destroyed everybody. And it also fell against that ark. It fell upon the ark. This pictures God's hatred for sin. But while the storm fell against the ark, Noah was safe in the ark. But the ark had to take the full force. The only thing that protected Noah from that judgment was that ark. The only thing that stood between Noah and perishing like everybody else was the ark. Everything else perished. Psalms 88:7. I believe this is just like our Lord speaking. He said, "The wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves." Psalms 42:7, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Do you see the picture? Our Lord's talking about when he would endure. When he died, he endured the full fury of God's wrath. Pictures his death. This speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and the violent waves, the violence of that storm beat upon that ark. And the violent wrath of Almighty God fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Let me say that again. He became sin. He wasn't made to look like sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He endured that wrath. This ark endured the wrath. When Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, hung upon the cross, he endured the wrath, the judgment, the fury of Almighty God. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God's anger toward sin, God's wrath toward sin, Instead of falling upon Noah, fell upon the ark. Instead of God's wrath falling upon his people, it fell upon our Lord when he died. He was perfect. He was without sin. Christ died, why? Because of sin. Not because of his sin, but because of the sins of his people. They were laid upon him. For Christ hath once suffered for sins. The just. Who's that talking about? The just. There's only one just one. That's Christ. He suffered once for sins. The just for the unjust. Now that's all of us. We're all unjust. That he might bring us unto God. Being put to death in the flesh. God could not die. Man could not satisfy, but the God-man both died and satisfied. He took upon himself human flesh, died as a man, the perfect man. Noah deserved to die. He deserved to die like everybody else. And when the waters beat upon that ark, he was safe in the ark. It says in Genesis 7, verse 17, the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and it bare up the ark and lifted it up above the earth. And our Lord said, when I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. Now listen, when everything else was demolished by the waters and buried by those waters, the ark alone survived. Not a green tree survived. Not a bird, not a creature, not an animal survived. But as the waters grew higher, the ark lifted up higher. As the waters rose, the ark rose, lifted up closer to heaven. It survived. It lifted it up. And our Lord said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. The only thing you could have saw, if you could have survived, and got up on top of that water, the only thing you could have saw was the ark. Oh, what a picture. His death. If you ever learn anything, I pray that God will enable you to learn this right here. Substitution. You say, well, what is a substitute? Most of you have watched baseball games before. And you know, if a guy's going to go in to play, instead of him, the one that's in the lineup goes in to bat, they'll have somebody that goes in, a pitch hitter, and he's the substitute. They both don't go up to bat. The substitute stands in his place. And my wife used to teach school, and if she couldn't go that day, she would call somebody that would be her substitute, that would be there to stand in her place. And listen, and when Jesus Christ died, he was a substitute for somebody. He died in the place of someone else. In John's Gospel chapter 18, when our Lord was standing before Pilate, Pilate said, you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews, which was Christ? Then they cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Barabbas deserved to die. He was a robber, and everybody knew it. He was a sinner. He deserved to die. He ought to have died. But Christ, they chose Christ, and Christ died in Barabbas' place. And you know what they did with Barabbas? They turned him loose. That's a substitute. Three crosses. The other two thieves, Barabbas the thief, he should have died. But who died in his place? Who died in his stead? Christ did, a substitute. And if one dies for someone else, the one he died for goes free. All that Christ died for must go free. This ark endured the wrath of Almighty God for who? Not everybody that lived. Most everybody perished. It survived and it endured the wrath for Noah. That's so clear. Noah survived. Nobody else didn't. People used to have this bumper sticker years ago. Everybody put it on their bumper sticker that said, smile God loves you. Now, Noah could have put that sign on the inside of the ark, and he could have got up every morning and looked at it and rejoiced every day. Smile, Noah. Smile, Noah. God loves you. It wouldn't have done a bit of good to put that sign on the outside of the ark. And for everybody, as they're perishing, as they're dying, as water is entering their lungs, and to look at that and say, now smile, God loves you. Outside that ark was the wrath and judgment of God, and God hates sin. Death. We see a picture of our Lord's death. He died. He endured the wrath for Noah. Not all men. Not all men. But listen, when Noah entered that ark, it was death to him. He died to the world, and the world died to him. He was shut up in Christ, and everything he had before he came into the ark was plunged to the depths of the sea. But everything he needed was found in the ark. Noah forsook the world, and Christ, that ark, became everything. That's a picture of death. And Noah died in Christ. He died in Christ. He's dead to the world. He's dead to sin. Sin can't touch him. Judgment can't touch Noah. Why? He's in the ark. There is nothing outside of Christ but death. And there was nothing outside that ark but death. So we see this was a picture of death. Our Lord's death and our death in Christ. Secondly, the burial. When God began to send the water upon the earth, it came from everywhere, from top and bottom. It says in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. What I can understand, those fountains of the deep, it was just like that there was a great eruption. It could have come from under the ocean. It could have just been like an earthquake, and the earth opened up. And when it did, this water was under so much pressure that it just gushed out. God opened it up. God had restrained this water. God had held it back, and now he just opens it up. I can see that picture. The fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, so it not only came from above, it came from beneath. It says in Genesis 8:2, as we've already read, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. What are you saying? What I want you to see is that if it was like, it was just like when the ark was buried in the water. It was coming from above, and it was coming from beneath, it was coming from the sides, and it was just like it was consumed. And that's a picture of our Lord. He says, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, and that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Why was he buried? You know why they bury something? He was dead. You don't bury something that's alive. The Jews, they didn't want our Lord to hang on the cross on the Passover. And it was getting close to being 6 o'clock on that Friday evening before the Passover. And so what did they do? They went to the cross and they told Pilate, they said, let's have their legs broke to speed up their death. They went to one thief and broke his legs, and they went to the next one and broke his legs. But when they come to Christ, he was already dead. Why? That the Scriptures should be fulfilled that not a bone of his body would be broken. So what happened? A soldier took a spear and pierced his side, and from that side came water and blood. Why did he do that? To prove, without a shadow of a doubt, he was dead. He died, and they buried him. Buried him. Joseph of Arimathea came and begged his body and buried him in his own new tomb. And they rolled the stone over it, put a seal over it to make sure that he was dead. How did they know he was dead? He's buried. There's no question about it. He's buried. When Christ died, we were in him. When he died, we died. when he bore the judgment in our stead, we bore the judgment as Noah bore the judgment in the ark. And when he was buried, we were buried in him. Noah was in that ark, and it was buried. Our Lord said in Acts 2:27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or Hades, the place where the body and soul were separated, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, to see corruption. What happened when he died? He saw no corruption. His body did not corrupt. Why? He had satisfied the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. So you see how it pictures his death, his burial. But I'm glad he didn't just die. He died for my sin, and all the sin of all his elect, every one of them. He died in their place. He was buried, put away. But he came forth. Why did he come from the grave? He satisfied the justice of God. And the justice of God demand death turn him loose. He's alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The ark. The wrath came against the ark. The ark was in this burial covered with water. But the ark lifted up above the water. And when the wrath and judgment of God had been sufficed, and every living thing had died, and not until then, when God's judgment was satisfied, the waters begin to assuage, the windows begin to stop, the windows were closed, and the ark rested on mountains of Ararat. What is that? Resurrection. Now we're going to see life again. Again. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowls of the heavens, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. What does that say? Noah remained alive. He's alive. How's he alive? The ark. The ark brought Noah safely through the flood. Not a single one perished in the ark. They all were standing now on resurrected ground. Remember, he was kept safe. God had shut him in. God brings Noah through the flood, a picture of God bringing us out on the other side in our resurrection. All who were in the ark made it safe through the storm. Every one of them. Not a one of them perished. Our Lord did not stay dead. He did not remain in the grave. He come out victorious on the other side. He conquered it. What conquered it in Noah? The ark did. What brought him through? The ark did. Who brings us through? The Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Now watch this. I've already read this verse once. That's first one time. This is 1 Peter 3:18. Why did he die? That he might, this is not a maybe so, that he might bring us to God. And he did. He was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. Noah stands now. He's come through the wrath of God, the death, the burial, and now he stands alive. This pictures a couple of things. It pictures the new birth, which is a resurrection, a giving of life from the dead. Listen, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. What did that say? He hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now watch this. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that life? You were dead in sins. He quickened you. He gave you life. And when Christ raised from the dead, you came out with him, if you're his. All that were in the ark came through on the other side, and they had life. 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 The salvation of Noah and his family is a picture of our salvation by the washing of regeneration. Though we are in the world, we are dead to the world, like Noah was. Like Noah came out of the ark, out of the flood of God's wrath, so we have come up out of the watery grave to walk with Christ in newness of life. That's what baptism pictures. It pictures us dying, being buried, and coming out resurrected. What? As a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Was Noah in the ark? He was in the ark. And if the Noah pictures Christ, we were what? In Christ. We were in Christ before the world was made. We were chosen in Christ. When he died, we were in Christ. When he was buried, we were in Christ. And when he came out, we were in Christ. And when he sits now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, we sit right there in him. That's the union. It's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. It can also picture our resurrection in the last day. As the ark brought Noah and his family all the way through, Christ will bring all his elect all the way through. Noah and his family did not perish in the middle of the flood. They survived. They brought them through. Let me just read you this in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn from the dead among many brethren. The firstborn means that there's many more to come. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. God called Noah into the ark. And whom he called, them he also justified, declared righteous. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And whom he justified, now listen, whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's past tense. They're already glorified. Noah comes out of that ark, how? Glorified. The wrath of God can't touch him. He's came through it. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for all, us all, how shall he not with him also give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. And one day, we're going to leave this world, and we're going to stand on solid ground like Noah did on that mountain, and it rested. We have rest now, nor rested in the ark, and there is a rest that remaineth for the people of God. And my question to you today is, are you in the ark? What I'm asking is, are you in Christ? If you're not, you're under his judgment and under his wrath. Amen.